From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, it's time for Eastern Standard. Today, an opportunity to meet and interact with the president of EKU. I'm John Hingsbergen, and joining me in the studio is Dr. Michael Benson, who took office as president last August. A native of Salt Lake City, raised in Texas, Dr. Benson has nearly 20 years of administrative experience in higher education, over a decade of which he spent as an institutional president. He came to the Commonwealth. Came to the Commonwealth last summer after almost 7 years as president of Southern Utah University. Welcome once again to Eastern Standard, President Michael Benson.
Thank you, John. Always good to be with you. Thank you for the invite.
Thank you for making the time for us. So we know that your time is precious, and we hear that you're quite busy, and we want to hear a little bit about what you've been involved in the last number of months. We invite our listeners to interact with President Benson as we've promoting for the last number of days. Feel free to get on the line right now. Julie Tennell will be processing the phone calls and keeping us up to date with who is on the line. 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. Send us an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at WEKUEST. We have a WEKU Facebook page as well. Post a comment there. Tweet us, call us, send us an email. Dr. Benson, I know that you are active on Twitter and on the social media. As a matter of fact, you just took a shot here a few moments ago. You're the selfie president.
Well, I don't know if I want to be known as that. I resisted Twitter for a long time. I just thought there's no way anything I do is that interesting. But it's a great way to communicate. You can get out through, 140 characters, get kind of these blasts about what's happening, put links on to stories. And I found it's been a really effective way for me to communicate, especially with this age of students. You know, they go by a lot of different names, Generation Y or X or Millennials or whatever they are, because a lot of times they're kind of an amalgam of that. But it's been effective. I've gone from, you know, no followers to, I think I'm the last count, I'm over 1,100 now. I'm chasing President Santa Ono, who's the president of the University of Cincinnati. He's got 28,000 followers, so I have a ways to go.
Yeah, I think it'll take a few more weeks. Now, it's at EKU Prez with a Z, right?
Correct, yeah, at EKU Prez.
And we encourage you to follow President Benson and take a look at the selfie that he shot just a few minutes ago. Talk a little bit about that selfie at the December commencement. That got a little bit of publicity and some recognition.
Well, first off, I didn't want it to make – some have been critical, saying, well, I made the moment about me and it was about the graduates. That certainly wasn't my intent.
There wasn't much of you in that picture. There was very little of you on the bottom of the frame.
And as someone said, it wasn't a very good picture, and my response was I wasn't about to retake it in front of 6,000 people. But it was an attempt to do two things. One, kind of communicate to our students that as an administration and as an institution, we're up with trends, and we understand that they like to communicate via things like Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And number two, I made the point that selfie had just been approved by the Oxford English Dictionary as an official word. So even when the staid, kind of very stoic folks across the pond take on a word like selfie and say it is part of our lexicon, it just goes to show you that popular culture and what is used by our students has made its way into the mainstream and into our modern day vocabulary.
And if the president of the United States and world leaders can take selfies at a major event such as the funeral of Nelson Mandela, brings it to another level as well. Now, you're involved in interacting by social media. You're involved in the campus community. I imagine that a lot of the students on campus at Eastern Kentucky University have had an opportunity to meet you. Talk about some things you've done on campus with students.
Well, excuse me, through Twitter, I try and respond to people to contact me. But I also try and get out and about as much as I possibly can, whether it's going to events at the Center for the Arts or student concerts. Tonight I'm going to meet with at 5 o'clock with the Honors Program students. We have a Martin Luther King kind of celebration dinner tonight. I'll speak to that. So there's not a night that goes by that I couldn't have something to attend, and I try and be judicious with my time, given the three small kids I have at home, a 6, 5, and a 3-year-old. But it's important for me as the president to be out and about and with these groups so they know that I value a great deal what they do and how these student organizations impact our campus. And it's been really fun, too. Just last week I started teaching them a course again. I've taken about a year off with things that were going on. I taught last for Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame, a class online. But this course is on the U.S. presidency and the Congress, and I'm team teaching it with Congressman Andy Barr. And he'll be in person for 4 of our class sessions, and we'll focus specifically on Supreme Court cases and their impact on presidential power and also congressional activity. So it's not every day you have a sitting congressman that will come and teach a course, and I pitched the idea to Andy several months ago, and he said, yeah, I'd love to do it. He's taught before. He's taught at UK. He's taught at Moorhead. But it's with students, I've got 21 students in honors. It's a mix of honors and political science majors. And it's a lot of fun. Really, really bright young people.
Sounds quite interesting. Is there room for auditors?
If you want to come and audit, John, you're welcome anytime.
Well, we want to talk about important issues. We want to talk about some of the fun things going on campus. We invite you, listeners, to get on board and interact with President Michael Benson during this hour of Eastern Standard, 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. Send us an email to email wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. The Twitter is at wekuest. And before we take our first phone call, President Benson, let's talk about recent events. You were in Frankfurt Tuesday evening for the governor's budget address to the General Assembly, and the governor had a lot to say about education, providing and hoping to provide some funding for K-12 education. Apparently, higher education is going to take a little bit of a hit overall, but Eastern is also going to benefit?
We are, and I was there with other university presidents. The weather was a bit dicey, and a few from the more outlying campuses couldn't make it, but it was my first experience at a budget address. I've been to many kind of state of the state or state of the Commonwealth speeches before. And to the governor's credit, he's grappling with ever expanding encumbrances on our state budget and obligations that we have, whether they're federal mandates, healthcare costs. The revenue really hasn't expanded like he would like to see. That's why he's talking about tax reform and even possibly expanded gaming. But he did say, and we met with him the week before, and he had given us a heads up. When I say we, all the university presidents were there, along with the chairs of our board. And he had told us that there was going to be cuts throughout state government, that higher ed would have a cut, but not as high as some of the other areas. And I will say this, and I want to say it unequivocally, that because of the reallocation that went on campus several months ago before I got here, where some funds were set aside, we've been able to do, for example, the faculty and staff pay increase, our equity, salary equity study that we're doing now. We've hired new faculty or posted positions for new faculty and staff. So all those things are a direct collateral byproduct of that process. But we've also set aside some money for, against the possibility of an occurrence like this. So we're going to try and make it as painless as possible. We do have ways that we can cover that. It's just on our appropriations. So our state appropriations is about $67 million. So 2.5% is roughly about $1.5 million. But the flip side to that, and this is what the governor told us, he said that will be tempered, the bad news will be tempered by the good news that came from the capital projects. And
let's talk about those projects.
Sure. The first is that we were given approval to issue our own agency bonds to finally build the parking structure on campus. We have a place in mind to tear down Case Hall and Case Annex, relocate those faculty to other areas on campus, and then build a 3 or 4-level deck right there, faced in brick, hopefully a pitched roof so it fits into campus. But that will service that central part, Keene Johnson Building, that University Drive, the Student Union behind it. And then that will be kind of an hourly fee lot. and we'll use the revenue from the parking fees to pay for that. So it doesn't come out of our general fund. I mean, some people say, why are we doing a parking deck when we're taking a cut? They're two different pots of money, and I want to make sure people are clear on that.
There certainly can be some congestion in that area of campus in the middle of the academic term when it's difficult to get in and out in an automobile.
And we're really trying to take vehicular traffic out of the center of campus. And if we can build a deck where you have ingress and egress onto Kit Carson Drive, that'll, I think, make it a lot better. The second is we got approval to improve some of our athletic facilities, and I'm sure we'll get to sports later on. But we do need to upgrade both Roy Kidd Stadium and Alumni Coliseum. Our track and field, we're putting lights at both softball and our baseball fields. So those were the two projects that we were approved to kind of issue our own debt and pay for it ourselves. The significant investment from the state is the $66.3 million for phase two of the science building. And as a lot of people know, the appropriation or the intent was to do the whole project at once. Budgets got tight. They've scaled it back just to phase one. So our number one priority has to really been to focus on getting the funds for phase two. And that's going to be a huge boon for our science area and for our entire campus. The great thing about it is we knew we were working toward this goal. So Mal Frisby and a lot of his fellow faculty members and folks on our facilities team have been working with the architects and contractor to really refine the program, to know exactly what the lab space is going to look like, what the office and teaching space is going to look like. So literally, John, when we get the appropriation in July, we hope, we're working toward that, we could turn a shovel that July the 1st or 2nd and get going on the project immediately.
And the 66.3 will pay for the building?
Correct, for phase two.
And what about politics around that allocation? Is that a given that it's going to happen, or will there be some negotiation or some discussion in the legislature?
Well, as we know, as you know, we have a bicameral legislature, so the House is now going to take the budget and have their way with it, and then the Senate will probably do the same thing after the House gets done. Then it comes to a conference committee, and they'll hammer out a final agreement, and that all has to happen before, of course, April the 15th. But there are enough projects for all the institutions statewide that are of such import to all of us that I would really be surprised if too much money falls out from those capital projects. Now, you may have more conservative members of the legislature say, no, we're not going to mortgage our future and borrow that much money. My response to that is the bond market is such that you can get money at such a great rate these days. These are buildings that are going to be around for 20, 30, 40 years. Invest in them now, or you're going to pay dearly in the future if you don't do them.
President Michael Benson is here with us, the president of Eastern Kentucky University. We're going to take a short break and invite you to get on board. Don, thanks for waiting. We will get to Don in Lexington in just a moment. 800-621-8890, WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. This is Eastern Standard on WEKU. President Michael Benson is with us, president of Eastern Kentucky University, available to interact with you if you have a question, a comment, a story you'd like to tell, maybe alums, folks who have a history with Eastern Kentucky University. Dr. Benson is relatively new to campus, came on board in August of last year. He'll be glad to meet you and interact with you at 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. If you're following us on Twitter, at WEKUEST, you can send us a direct message, or I think you can still get a message through to us. I'm not sure how all that works, but if you address it to us, you should get through to us. Let's talk to Don from Lexington, who's been on the line for a few minutes. Don, thank you for calling. You're on with President Michael Benson.
Well, I'm glad to hear Dr. Benson's comments and the issue of higher education in light of the governor. My thoughts are two questions, basically, but somewhat comments as well. It disturbs me that we aren't looking at what's happening in K through 12 in the sense that Kentucky has 120 fiefdoms throughout the state, which are really not education-oriented. They're more political-oriented, and they're used as tools by so many local folks in not getting education to the children, and it bothers me that that's the emphasis. It also bothers me that the business of higher education is a business in some senses, and students are going into great debt, which bothers me as much as anything, because of kids that I know will be facing the future with such horrendous debts on their back. At the same time, I want to ask you, is there any substantial ongoing cooperation between the universities and the state, both to increase attendance and direction so that the universities around the state are supporting one another, maybe even focusing on channeling some of the students towards the other universities to get some specialties like you have in criminal education, education of prevention of crime or control of crime, and then the issue of sports, because you mentioned the spending on the stadiums, and I heard the bonding for Rupp Arena is $65 million, and they've already bonded $105 million for the football stadium at UK, and yet we are cutting education at the higher education level. It's distressing to me, and you see an upswing like your optimism was earlier today in some statewide support for better education, both at the K through 12 and the higher education level, and not the business of education, which obviously so many private enterprises have got into and competing with the universities.
Okay, Don, thank you for that question. More than one question, I'm sure.
Don, thank you very much for calling in. If I may, I'll just, I wrote some notes here. As it relates to the 120 school districts, I'm still learning the importance of counties here in Kentucky, and I can't really speak to the politics that go on at the school board level other than I know they're there, and that's just kind of a fact of life. I know that there is serious discussion among the people with whom I associate at the K-12 level of really doing their best to reform and to improve, and we're certainly the beneficiaries of students that are better prepared when they come to our campus, so remedial education isn't something we have to focus on. I'll tell you, we have a wonderful relationship with our friends here in Madison County, with the superintendent and our surrounding areas, and that certainly was something we need to, and I don't disagree at all with your point, something we need to improve. To the point about cooperation with universities, I've already been out to Western Kentucky twice to meet with Gary Ransdell. I've been up to Moorhead two or three times. I've gone to UK. I've been on just about every campus now. And you're exactly right. There's no need for redundancy in that, let's say, for example, UK, obviously they have a med school, they have a law school, they have specialty programs. There's no need for us to replicate those programs or try to replicate them. We could focus on what we do well, and the programs of distinction will continue to do well, and we'll focus on those. We're in the process of partnering right now with WKU on an advanced degree, and I won't say more about that because it's still in process. But and with SOAR, and I know we'll talk about SOAR later, I'm sure, John, but we're partnering right now with Moorhead in ways that we can service our collective service area in Eastern Kentucky. The student debt issue, I would argue that EKU is a tremendous bargain for an in-state student to pay less than $6,000 in tuition and fees per year is a great deal. I encourage students, if they have to work or take a Pell Grant or get a Stafford loan, don't encumber yourself with too much debt at the undergraduate level. If you have to go into debt for graduate school like I did for both my graduate degrees, that's an investment in yourself that I would argue is the best investment a student can make. But I'm with you, Don. Student debt is a big concern, and we're trying our best to raise private funds for scholarships, for endowment funds, to create in perpetuity opportunities for students to come and avail themselves of higher education. Finally, to the sports, and I touched on it, the sports programs and the facilities particularly really come from different pots of money, and the bonding that they want to do for Rupp Arena, I can't speak specifically to the details because I don't know a lot about it, other than I know the legislature did approve, or the governor outlined a $65 million investment with a view toward the economic impact that will have on all of Fayette County, specifically on Lexington. When we talk about investments in our facilities here, it's paid for with revenue that we generate on our athletics program, either gate receipts or guarantee games or donations. So we will try our best to limit the obligation on the part of the university as it relates to funding our athletic programs. That said, student fees is one way that schools pay for athletic programs. I'll give you a good example, James Madison University in Virginia. if you could believe it, they have an $1,100 per year student fee just for athletics. And you can
participating or not.
Right. That's what every student pays. So we have it pretty good here right now, but I hope I addressed all of his questions.
Thank you for those questions, Don. We have lines open for you, 800-621-8890. Michael Benson, the president of Eastern Kentucky University, is with us for the next half hour or so, 800-621-8890. The email address, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. By the way, when you do call in, you are welcome to remain anonymous when you call. So you don't have to give your name on the air. Just tell us, tell Julie your name, and we'll be glad to keep your name anonymous as far as our listeners are concerned. Dr. Benson, talking about athletics, did we, when you were here in the fall or early late summer, talk about the $1 million football scoreboard? There was some talk about that on campus, that there was this fancy new scoreboard going up while the university was making some cuts.
Yeah, what we did is we basically did an internal loan from the university to athletics and then set aside the revenue games that both basketball and football are playing. Last year we played Louisville, and I think our payout was close to $400,000. Next year, we play two revenue games, Miami, Ohio, and the University of Florida. And those revenues from those games will go to pay off the scoreboard. I said this, John, I want to make sure people hear this again. The one inside Alumni Coliseum, it's great for basketball. It's added a whole new element to the fan experience. But at graduation, now those graduating families can see his or her, their graduates walk across the stage. It's more than just for athletics. It's for community purposes. It's for in various functions. And so it has a kind of collateral positive impact on the university in a lot of different ways.
Talking about K through 12 education, Eastern continues to have a commitment to its on-campus laboratory school, which is somewhat rare. It was something that was very common with a lot of campuses a number of years ago, schools that specialized in teaching teachers. I understand that you have plans for improvements for the current model school on campus in Richmond.
It is the last remaining model laboratory school in the Commonwealth, and from what folks tell me, including Vernon Lowe, our Dean of Education, one of the few left in the country, really. They were very, very popular back there in the 50s and 60s. Ours was built in 1962. My two older children go there, and they're having a wonderful experience with great faculty and really caring staff. I had, when Aaron Thompson was here with me back in August, we talked a little bit about the fact that model could be just that, a model for teacher education. Just like attorneys have to go back for CLE, continuing legal education, teachers have to get recertified. This could be a place where teachers come from all over the Commonwealth and get kind of retuned, refined, if you will, to learn the latest pedagogy, the latest techniques, the latest technologies. So we're promoting it as, yes, it's a great resource for 700-plus students that go there and their families, but more than that, tied into our College of Education, it could be a resource for the entire state as we continue to talk about improving K through 12 education. And that's starting to get a lot of traction with people.
800-621-8890, 800-621-8890, our phone number. You're welcome, invited to be part of our conversation with President Michael Benson of Eastern Kentucky University on Eastern Standard at WEKU. President Benson, there was an issue some months ago, a concern about potential white supremacist activity on campus. A flyer showed up in one of the campus buildings, and you, of course, can give us more background on what occurred there and the campus response to a situation like that.
Well, the campus response was immediate, and it was, I believe, forceful. I stated unequivocally that we do not stand for that sort of behavior, as cowardly as it was done in an anonymous way. It's an ongoing investigation with our EEO office, so I can't comment specifically. The interviews continue, but the faculty member, I've visited with her, I've talked to other faculty members. I've made it very, very clear to people that our purpose as a university is to create an environment where, number one, students feel safe to express their views. The faculty feels safe in expressing their views as faculty members, And number three, we have a chance to have dialogue that, yes, it can be spirited, but it's never intended in any way. I will not countenance that kind of behavior on the part of people directed at a specific group of individuals. In this case, directed at a faculty member. So the investigation is ongoing, but I've stated that our administration is about openness and creating an environment at EKU where all people feel safe in expressing their views and learning and teaching.
You mentioned the SOAR program, Shaping Our Appalachian Region, which is a big deal in the portions of the Commonwealth of Kentucky. What is the university's participation and role in this project?
Well, my first exposure to Eastern Kentucky, or really our service area, has been going out with one of my colleagues, David McFadden, who's from Johnson County. I've been to Hazard a couple of times. I've been out to Pikeville three times. I've been through other areas in the region. And I've come away every time really impressed with people's attachment to the area and how proud they are of their roots in Appalachia. By the same token, I've also been impressed with the need for all of us to collectively get together and band together and come up with some ideas to help this area that has been decimated throughout the decades in a lot of kind of negative ways. So I was part of the discussion that happened in Pikeville on December the 9th with over 1,700 people that were there, convened by Hal Rogers and Governor Beshear. Was part of a panel. I'm happy to say that our mediation center folks from campus were the ones that helped moderate the discussions. We were very, very involved. I came back and told our IT people we want to be the host site where someone can get on the internet and in one place find out all of the programs available, whether it's through Moorhead or Berea or Cumberland's or whatever, the institutions in our area, Pikeville. And know exactly what's available to them if they want to pursue either a certificate or associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, an advanced degree. So we're trying our best. And then, of course, the Promise Zones, the federal initiative announced by President Obama, it ties directly into us and our CARES program and Ian Moore and his efforts in economic development. So on a lot of different fronts, John, we're trying our best to really lead out, along with Moorhead, as the two state public institutions in the region where we feel we have a real obligation to our service area.
We have an email that came in to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com from Matt, who writes, will the new logo for EKU be on the new water towers? Will that be when it is made public? When will the public get to see? And what was the public input from that like? I guess I know there was an announcement of, are there new water towers? Or the logo is going on old water towers, right?
Right. The first one, we were all set, ready to go. And, of course, this Arctic blast kind of hit us. And they have to have a certain temperature for a certain period of time. The one that he's referring to is the one over by Alumni Coliseum that you can see from the bypass. And it, of course, we'll paint it white first, and then it's a really simple, very traditional font of Eastern Kentucky University, and then the artwork is actually kind of the outline of the King Johnson Tower. And when people see it, I think they're going to really like it. I've had a chance to run it by some focus groups, and they really do like the design. We're still kind of in the process of, as I've said, retired the old kind of kicker K, the slanted EKU, that's more prevalent. But we're still in the process of finding a vice president for marketing and communications that's going to help us kind of roll all this out together. And instead of coming out kind of piecemeal, we've decided let's go with what we have currently with this new design with the King Johnson Tower, which will go on signage around campus too. And our campus facility people really, really like it. And I know people. It's very traditional. It's very collegiate. And if there's any building at Eastern that I'm proud of all of our facilities, but the one that we should all take pride in is King Johnson and the story behind it. And so to have that as kind of the signature icon, if you will, of campus, I think is significant.
There was some work last year around the exterior of that
Correct.
Building.
Mm-hmm.
The concrete and so forth has been redone to provide, a more presentable entrance, and very impressive the way that was done up.
Yeah, it's a beautiful building with a great story.
President Michael Benson is here with us on Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890 is the phone number. Send us an email, as Matt did, to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Please feel free to get on board. There is a line open for you right now. No waiting. 800-621-8890. Now, Dr. Benson, you were talking about marketing and the still working on the hiring of a vice president for marketing and branding, I guess, is the appropriate title. What is needed in terms of marketing for Eastern beyond, symbols people will see in Richmond, Madison County, logos on a water tower and so forth? Is there plans, a plan to reach out beyond Eastern Kentucky and do some marketing for drawing in the student population? Or what's the purpose and the meaning of marketing for a campus like this?
Well, I'll address that with two things. First, we had he's actually an EKU graduate. He's the vice president for Delta. His name escapes right now, but he's based in Minneapolis, and he's in charge of all the regional airlines. And he talked about the rebrand of Delta and how the everybody knows what the font is, everybody knows what that little Delta, the triangle, the paint, what number it is. And there's a uniformity that is kind of infused throughout the organization. I would like to see that same thing, that there's a uniformity to our logo, to our look, to our feel, that regardless of the area on campus, everybody knows that that's the EKU logo. Now, you have some campuses, for example, the University of Notre Dame. They have a more traditional kind of academic-looking font. Then they have the interlocking ND, which they use for athletics. We have that slanted EKU, which we use for athletics, and as we're developing the look for our more academic look, I want it to be something that we're all proud of. I know that we'll never come up with something that pleases everybody. We all have different tastes, and that's the beauty of a place like this. But I want it to be out in the public, whether it's here in Madison County, in the Commonwealth, in our region, throughout the country, where people see it, and they know immediately that's Eastern Kentucky University.
We're going to take another break.
Sure.
We'll follow up on marketing. We'll talk about athletics in a little bit more in depth with President Michael Benson. 800-621-8890, 800-621-8890. This is Eastern Standard on WEKU. I'm John Hingsbergen, and our guest this week, the president of Eastern Kentucky University, Dr. Michael Benson, here to interact with you. You're welcome to get on the line during these final moments of our program at 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. We'll be glad to get you on the air. You can speak directly with President Benson. Send an email to us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter or send us a message on Twitter at WEKUEST. Post a note or a message on our Facebook page as well. We're talking about marketing. And I guess that whole marketing approach, President Benson, ties to athletics and logos that are used in that setting. The Colonel has been the longstanding tradition at Eastern. Is the Colonel going to be around in some fashion for years to come?
I stated as long as we have honorary Kentucky Colonels in the Commonwealth, we'll have a Colonel as our mascot. Now, that's not to say the look of our current Colonel is going to be around forever. We've had some say, why not a female version, and why not a more kind of military-looking with maybe a beret on? And so I've actually talked to our athletic folks about getting some different versions that we might roll out in the future. But for now, we'll go with our current colonel.
And let's talk further about athletics. Following you on Twitter, I find that following President Benson is a good way to keep up to date with what's happening with the football game or the basketball game. I got a tweet, I didn't know we were playing tonight. And you can get almost a running commentary. Look at stay up to date with the score. And so you're obviously a sports fan and trying to be visible and present to let our teams know that you're supportive. What further efforts are you planning in terms of perhaps expansion or moving our athletic programs into higher ranking levels of the? Again, I'm not a sports guy, so no. If I stumble around on that, it's because I'm not quite sure I know what I'm talking about. But there are rankings in terms of where we fit in. We're a small school, and we're not in the same category as the Big Ten and all that sort of stuff.
Well, first off, I try and get us to as many events as I possibly can. I mean, there are moments where I have tremendous pride in what our student athletes are doing and how well they're representing the university, none more so than when I got to go at the end of November and watch our cross-country team compete at the NCAA championships in Terre Haute, Indiana. And there are our kids with Eastern Kentucky across their chests running alongside Stanford and Oregon and Oklahoma State and Northern Arizona and Colorado and Brigham Young. And we've placed 15th. That's the highest a team has ever placed in national competition. Now, that was at the highest possible level. And we compete at the highest possible level in Division I in every sport except football. Hmm. And in football, we're at what's called the FCS, the Football Championship Subdivision. The FBS is the one that you talked about, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the SEC, the Pac-12. And we need to make a decision because the NCAA is kind of forcing the discussion. And I just came from the meetings last week in California where it was all focused on the governance and are the Big Five conferences going to break off and do their own thing? And if they do, what does that mean for the rest of Division I, the other five conferences, and then also by association, what does that mean for FCS schools? So we are looking at all possible avenues and considering our options. For the time being, we're one of the founding members of the Ohio Valley Conference, and we will stay there as long as they'll have us and as long as we feel it's a good place for us to compete. We have some natural rivalries with schools like Moorhead and Murray. So now some of the schools we used to compete with, like Western and Middle Tennessee State and Marshall, have all moved up to that level I talked about, FBS. So that's something we've got to consider. And I tell people this is more than just playing at the highest level. This is associating with groups of institutions with which we have more in common than not. And adding luster to that degree that people hold, hang their diploma on the wall, and you want them to take pride in it. And our job as administrators and faculty and staff is to continue to burnish the reputation of the institution, to make people more proud of their degree and make it more valuable to them. And like it or not, in today's 21st century America, athletics is associated with academic reputation. And Florida Gulf Coast, a small school, made it to the Sweet 16 last year. And from what I heard, their applications went up something like 500% because of the exposure that gave that particular school. So that's just the reality in which we live.
President Michael Benson with us on Eastern Standard. We have a couple of folks waiting on the line. I'm sure we have a line open if you'd like to get on board and get your question asked and answered during the next 15 minutes or so. 800-621-8890. Let's go to line one and talk to Chris from Clay County. Chris, thank you for being on the line. You're here with Dr. Michael Benson.
Hello. I'm an alumni who actually started at Manchester before coming to the main campus, so hopefully you've been down there.
I have been there, Chris. I've been there a couple times.
Good. You talked about SOAR. Since I live in the area, it's something that is important to me. I'm actually on my way to work at Lincoln Memorial University just over the border, and so when you're including the schools in the area, make sure you reach out to them and some of their programs for the listings and the like.
Oh, I appreciate that. I didn't know about Lincoln Memorial, but I will make sure our folks do. We're trying to make it as exhaustive and inclusive as possible. So it's really a one-stop shop, a site sponsored by EKU, where the ease of use is such that someone can get on there and know exactly what's available without having to go to 25 different websites. So I appreciate that that recommendation, and we will get on that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Chris, thank you.
Thank you for calling Eastern Standard at WEKU, 800-621-8890. Chris has opened up a line. You're welcome to take his place at 800-621-8890. And now on another line, we have Greg from Frankfort with a question for President Benson. Greg, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning. My question goes to what the president sees for the role of the Agriculture Department in the coming years.
Well, thank you, Greg. I come from an agricultural background. My grandfather was the Secretary of Agriculture for President Eisenhower for 8 years, a small farming community in southeastern Idaho. So I was raised in a family that we were really inculcated with a respect for and appreciation of what agriculture means to our society, to our country. Now, it's changed dramatically over the last several decades, and ag programs, unfortunately, are dwindling in many universities and colleges throughout the country. Ours is robust. It's doing well. We continue to try and lead out in the areas that we specialize in, but it's going to be something that, as long as there's a demand out there and we can provide a service to both our service area in terms of providing graduates in those demanded areas, but also through our research and through our service of our faculty and staff, we'll continue to try and make an impact. But it's an important program for us.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
Greg, thanks for calling. 800-621-8890, 800-621-8890. President Michael Benson here with us for another 10 minutes or so on Eastern Standard. We're interested in hearing from you. You can send an email to wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to respond to that as well. President Benson, you're talking about and we've talked about the SOAR Shaping Our Appalachian Region effort. Now, just yesterday, Governor Beshear and Congressman Hal Rogers announced this major broadband initiative, which is, I guess, part of the governor's plans for the state budget. Is Eastern Kentucky University involved in that? Is that interact with what you're already working on?
Yeah, in fact, I was invited to the press conference yesterday, and I had another obligation, so David McFadden went and represented the university there. The governor has focused on two areas, along with Congressman Rogers, where they've already announced fairly significant both state and federal investments. The first is the expansion of the Mountain Parkway. The governor announced that just the other day. And the other, of course, is the dark fiber from Cincinnati all the way south and then east. And the kind of part and parcel of this plan is the belief that access to broadband for the citizens of the region is absolutely critical. And I would not, I concur 100%. And so this is really a partnership with both the feds and with our state government to make that investment and to have more and more Eastern Kentuckians have access to that. We've heard stories of students taking a class, and because they can't get access to the internet, they'll go sit in the parking lot of Walmart in their car. And because there's a wireless signal they can pick up on their laptop, they do it there. So whatever we can do to improve the connectivity of our citizens is going to be really, really important.
800-621-8890 is our number. Sally from Richmond is on the line with President Michael Benson. Sally, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm just out of words. That's a rarity for me. I just wanted to say to President Benson that I'm happy that Model is getting the recognition and attention that it deserves, and that I consider my 17 and a half years of teaching at the laboratory school as the capstone of my professional career, and I'm a career teacher of 38 years. And thanks to him for the support that he's giving Model, which it well deserves.
Well, thank you, Sally. First off, thank you for your 38 years of teaching. That is a great career, and to finish it at Model, I'm so delighted that you had a wonderful experience there. My kids, as I said, are having a great experience, and the highlight of my day is to walk them into school and see all the smiling faces and to feel the energy that's in that building, the love of learning.
Yes.
Sometimes we get a little jaded and maybe a little tired and lose sight of that, but that's what it's all about. And you see it in the faces of those young kids and in their teachers and staff that care so much about them. So thank you very much.
Well, I would ask you if you'd be interested sometime to check the audio visual area there at EKU, because I did a videotape called Peter Rabbit for Law-Related Education, and it was used all the way across the states, according to what I was told. And I met a woman who had just come back from Hawaii, and she had used Peter Rabbit for a workshop on law-related education. So I produced that with the audiovisual division of the university while I taught there. Thank you so very much, and keep up with your wonderful support. And I'm just so proud to be an alumni of EKU and a teacher retired from there.
Well, thank you, Sally. We're proud of you, too. I appreciate that.
And glad to hear from a famous person who's been involved in such a video. Now, that sounds like a really interesting and worthwhile project, the Peter Rabbit activity there. Sally, thanks for calling 800-621-8890 and being with us on the Eastern Standard with President Michael Benson. Now, let's see. We have from social media, I'm getting a request that we talk about college tuition always winds up with increasing costs of operation. To what do you attribute ever-increased costs? Is it overreach on offering too many program centers, administrators, et cetera, or is there something else you see is the key? Rebecca from Lexington posted this question.
Well, Rebecca, it's a very astute observation. If you look at the Consumer Price Index and the cost of tuition, it far surpasses other costs that have gone up. I will still maintain that it's the best investment one can make in one's education. That said, it seems college costs have escalated far beyond what a lot of kind of middle Americans can afford. Now, some of that is expansion of programs. Some is the expansion of administrative levels. We've tried our best to kind of right-size the university through the reallocation that we did several months ago. There are also some other encumbrances that universities have to face now. Increased federal regulation has led to more costs, of course, healthcare costs. Programs have gotten more and more expensive to teach. It's one thing to get up and teach my political science course, which doesn't require, lab equipment. But some of these more sophisticated programs in the hard sciences, whether it's, physics or chemistry or any other number of other programs, are more costly. And the investment in capital, the capital expenses have gone up. By the same token, I'm proud of the fact that America has really led out in terms of online education and access. And the fact that you can be anywhere and dial in and get access to a degree program at any number of universities, and we are a leader in that sense, and that's brought the cost down in some areas. But that said, cost is of grave concern to me and to my fellow administrators, and we will continue to focus on affordability and access and providing scholarships to those that are qualifying that want to come to EKU.
Rebecca, thank you for writing to us. This is Eastern Standard. We have a few minutes remaining for your phone call at 800-621-8890. We'd recommend you use the phone because that'll be the most efficient way of getting on the air here and getting your question answered from President Michael Benson. 800-621-8890. Now, today we've had a kind of a rough week weather-wise. Today's the first day in a few that classes have started on time. People are at work in all the offices on campus. Talk a little bit about when weather becomes an issue in terms of whether classes and university operations can proceed.
Well, let me first say I want to thank our campus personnel that have really tried their best to make campus as accessible and safe as possible. This has been one of the kind of those perfect storms in terms of the confluence of snow and ice and cold. I mean, even our snow melt, because it's so cold, won't work. So they've actually gone out and put this kind of aggregate, this sand out there to try and improve the grip on the walkways.
So, by the way, for the record, it's not always like this in the winter in this part of Kentucky. The last couple of years have been very, very mild, so I think we're getting hit back. It's payback for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's bitter cold, and the humidity kind of exacerbates it. We have a protocol. Our facilities people, in concert with our provost office, kind of look at the forecasts. They try and ascertain as best they can, given the current real-time data, what is going to happen with the weather, and then you always try your best to prognosticate. But when we started school on Monday, the roads were clear. I got to my office at 8 o'clock, and things looked like they were okay, and then the weather got worse. And that's why we decided to shut down and cancel evening classes. So please know we're trying our best. It's not a perfect system. We do have on the EKU website these weather alerts. We get it out through our public relations people. We get it out to the television and radio stations. When I get back to my office after this, I'm going to send out a campus-wide email that kind of outlines that and kind of tells people what we're doing to try and make campus safer. But it's not without its pitfalls and challenges. I've had several people contact me and say, why aren't we closed? And we try and strike a balance between the safety, but also the necessity of holding classes and giving our students what they pay for, and that's an education and to be in class and to be with their faculty and their staff.
What is the percentage of residential students versus those who are commuting to and from campus every day?
Boy, all of our freshmen, of course, are required to live on campus. So that's, 2,500 kids right there. Residential, I'll have to go back and see, but I would say we're at least half and half.
But it's a large number of people who have to be on the roadway. Yeah. So you have to shut down at certain points, and you have to meet that middle ground, I guess.
Yeah, we do. And I appreciate that in the more remote areas, it's more difficult. So I would tell students, the faculty have some latitude and they can cut you a little bit of slack, but use your own best judgment. And if it's too bad, then stay at home and be safe.
That's about it for this week's Eastern Standard with President Michael Benson. Thank you so much for another interesting hour, and we hope you'll be back with us again, maybe in a few months. Make this kind of a regular thing, at least every quarter of the year or so.
Happy to do it. Thank you, John, for having me.
Thank you for everyone who's participated with your questions, your comments. If you write to us or tweet to us or send us a message, we'll forward it to the president's office and directly to President Michael Benson so that you can continue to interact with him. He's made himself very accessible, so it's not like you have to go through a lot to get to him. Eastern Standard is a production of the WEKU stations at Eastern Kentucky University. Our associate producers are Andrew Moorhead and Richard Turner. Our technical director is Jonice Franklin. This show will be available later today as a podcast, available to be downloaded from our website, or you can listen to it directly from the website at weku.fm. We're interested in hearing from you anytime with your comments, topics, or guest suggestions. WEKU Eastern Standard at gmail.com. For WEKU and Eastern Standard, I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in.